This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Hallie Zander, here with your top stories this Friday. 4 years after the Safeway in Glenwood Springs closed, a developer is looking to use the 5-acre empty lot for a mixed-use development. Caroline Yanes has more.
Aspen-based developer RGE Group is proposing 195 apartments for rent and 15,000 square feet of retail space across five buildings. 20% of the units would be deed restricted. At a community meeting in Glenwood Springs on Thursday, over 100 people showed up to provide feedback and speak with developers. Scott Russell is the principal of RGE Group. He says he's looking forward to even more conversations with the community.
I would say it is the type of housing. You know, how much is affordable? Is it going to be free market for sale product? Those are the main questions.
Some of the most common concerns voiced at the meeting was that none of the units would be for sale, which Russell says is due to high construction costs. The project will go to the City of Glenwood Springs for review this summer, with construction expected to start in 2024. Caroline Yanes, Aspen Public Radio News.
The Roaring Fork Community Development Corporation, a subsidiary of the nonprofit Manaus, has closed on the purchase of Three Mile Mobile Home Park near Glenwood Springs. It's part of an effort to give residents of the park enough time to purchase the land themselves and set up a governing structure. Many residents owned their homes, but not the land underneath it. The park is home to nearly 90 residents. The RFCDC will operate the park as interim landlords while the residents prepare to purchase and become a resident-owned park. CDOT and the City of Glenwood Springs are working together on a rock scaling and repair project in Glenwood Canyon next week. From Tuesday through Thursday, weather permitting, there will be 10-minute traffic stops in both directions on I-70 in the canyon near the no-name tunnel at mile marker 118 between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Part of the project includes replacing a barrier on the bike path that runs through the canyon. The rock scaling work requires good visibility and so must take place during daylight hours. A local arts nonprofit called Voices will present its first ever intergenerational theater production this weekend at the Thunder River Theater in Carbondale. Kai Williams has more on the Sage Voices theater project.
The show and this song in it are called Precious and Endless. On stage at a rehearsal, 11 to 14-year-old kids are singing and swing dancing alongside the Sage Voices, who range in age from 76 to 97. Joan Lamont is one of the Sages. She turns 90 this month and sees a lot of value in sharing stories from her generation with the youth ensemble.
Well, I think precious means the stories that we old sages have been chatting with these marvelous kids about, that those are precious to us and so different for them. And endless is they're going to go on endlessly and have their own stories too.
The show explores themes about childhood, growing up, letting go, and facing fears throughout life's defining moments. It opens tonight and runs through Sunday at the Thunder River Theater in Carbondale. From the Edlis Neeson Arts and Culture Desk, I'm Kaya Williams.
Work on the Wingo Junction Bridge in Basalt will resume on Monday and continue until June 1st. Crews will be doing repairs to the piers on the bridge, which carries the Rio Grande Trail over the Roaring Fork River at Wingo. The bike trail between Basalt High School and the Wingo Bridge will be used to move equipment, so trail users should use caution in the area. Pickens County does not anticipate the need to close the bridge during this time. And tomorrow marks the end of National Library Week. Check out your local branch library for events this weekend. In state news, lawmakers want to start phasing out hunters' use of lead bullets. KUNC's Lucas Brady Woods reports a bill that would launch a pilot bullet replacement program cleared the state legislature Thursday.
Lead bullets used for hunting often break apart when they hit their target. Some fragments can be too small to see and remove. That means someone eating meat harvested from wild game could consume pieces of toxic lead. The program in the bill would allow hunters to exchange lead bullets for non-toxic copper ones. Bill sponsor, Representative Barbara McLaughlin, says it's about keeping people healthy.
Ingesting any amount of lead is bad, but if a pregnant woman ingests it, it can absolutely affect her baby. It affects adults, children. It causes mental health issues. It causes physical issues.
The program is also intended to reduce risks to wildlife from toxic bullets. The 2-year pilot program would give people vouchers to cover the extra costs of copper bullets. The State Division of Parks and Wildlife will decide the size and scope of the program. I'm Lucas Brady Woods at the State Capitol.
Governor Jared Polis signed 2 bills into law Thursday that aim to increase safety in schools. One bill will establish the Office of School Safety within the Department of Public Safety. It will be responsible for preventing, planning for, and responding to emergency situations at schools. The other bill requires the Department of Law to convene a training meeting every year for school resource officers, or SROs. The meeting will cover best practices for SROs in response to findings from the state's Safe to Tell program. That's the anonymous tip system used to report school safety concerns. State lawmakers have agreed on funding levels for Colorado's schools next year.
$1,000 more per kid. That's what this bill does. $1,000 more for every kid in K-12 public education in the state of Colorado.
That's Democratic Senator Jeff Bridges. While all lawmakers celebrated the increase, CPR reports Republicans pushed to take more money out of reserves to eliminate a deficit in the education budget that has lingered since the Great Recession of 2008. Senator Barbara Kirkmeyer.
I think students deserve better and that we should be funding them, and that education should be our top priority and that we should put education first.
The legislature's current plan calls for eliminating the education funding shortfall in next year's budget. 3 Colorado teens accused of driving around and throwing large rocks at passing cars, one of which investigators say killed a 20-year-old woman, allegedly circled back to take a photo of her crashed car as a memento. Court documents released Thursday say one of the teens told investigators that all 3 of them got excited every time they hit a car with a rock. However, he acknowledged he felt a hint of guilt passing by the car where authorities say Alexa Bartell died after being hit in the head with a rock last week. In regional news, the pandemic-fueled rise of remote work supercharged population growth in already fast-growing places, including many parts of the American West. But that growth may be slowing down. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse has more.
The pandemic brought about the concept of the Zoom town to the West and elsewhere, communities where remote workers have flocked to take advantage of open space and relatively lower housing costs. But looking at new census data for 2022, an economic innovation group analysis found that population growth in a large swath of the region, including parts of Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and Nevada, has slowed to pre-pandemic levels. EIG analyst Danny Newman, one of the study's authors, said that result was surprising to him, but noted that growth remains well above historically low national rates. The growth also overlaps with parts of the West that have been dealing with years of drought. Newman said that a rising population is a key part of economic dynamism, but that it needs to be balanced with such considerations. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Department of Interior and National Endowment for the Humanities will work to better document the traumatic history of federal Indian boarding schools. Here again is the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse.
From the early 19th century through the late 1960s, the U.S. government operated more than 400 of these schools in over 36 states. Indigenous students' names were changed, their hair was cut, and the use of indigenous languages was discouraged or prohibited. Physical, sexual, and emotional abuse were widespread. That's according to the first volume of an investigation requested by Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, the first Native American cabinet secretary, and released last year. The NIH has committed $4 million to digitize documents and collect oral histories of those who survived the schools. Haaland recently spoke about her department's broader Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative.
We didn't set out on this painful journey simply because we're indigenous, but because our people continue to bear the burden of intergenerational trauma incurred over decades of federal policies designed to kill our cultures, languages, lifeways, and spirits.
The Interior Department says that an oral history of the schools is something that indigenous communities have requested. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our news team, Caroline Yanis, Kaya Williams, Brent Gardner-Smith, Eleanor Bennett, and me, your host, Hallie Zander. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.